we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And we're off and running for another week here in Brevard County, Florida. Hi, my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God on Grove Street, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. You're listening to Today's Modern Worship, WMIE 91.5 FM. If you are listening at 8:30 of a morning or 5 o'clock of an evening for the rebroadcast, 10:30 of a morning, you can catch the rebroadcast on WWBC 1510 AM. If you happen to miss all of those things, they have this great feature on the WMIEFM.com website, and that is the Listen on Demand feature. And that is at the bottom of the webpage. You can click on Listen on Demand, type in the date that you are looking for. When you type in a date, it's going to show you a list of several programs that you have the option to go back and listen to in its entirety. You can download it to your computer and listen to it at a later time and click on the Refresh program with Pastor Bob Arthurs, and you can listen to your heart's content. If you miss something that I say, want to go back and listen to it, that's one of the great things about listening on the computer, is you have the ability to take that little sliding scale and say, you know what, let's go back and listen to that again. And you can catch that. In fact, the other day, we have the ability to rewind our television. And I was listening to a program. I was watching a television program. It was a documentary type thing. And just as a person was giving a statistic, my daughter let out this very loud sneeze. And I didn't say a word. I just stopped it. I rewound it, and I turned up the volume. And she said, was my sneeze so loud that it drowned out the sound? And I was like, I wasn't going to say anything. and then the laughter was on. It was just funny after that. So if you listen to the on-demand feature, you can go back and rewind any time that you want. So we want to start off today by saying thank you to the fine folks at Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, 321-632-9538. I love saying 321-632. I normally get a little bit of a roll on there. That version there just kind of sounded like Wilbur from the Mr. Ed Show. Wilbur. 321-632-9538. We'll get you the folks at Wyrick Air Heat and Electric. And they can come out, they can get your AC up and running, they can get your electrical working. If it's not hot enough for you, throw another blanket on the bed. That's all I'll say. I doubt you're going to need much in the way of heating. But if you think that your heater is in need of replacement, it might be a great time. You know, with anything in the service industry, there are times when things are extra busy and things when are a little slower. And if you call and it's one of those slower times, you may be able to get a slightly better price on that. And so if they can be of benefit to you, 321-632-9538, we'll get you in touch with the folks at Wyrick Air Heat and Electric. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio broadcast, and they will get you on the schedule to get you taken care of in a hurry. So this is the week that we're building up for our women's service, our Mother's Day service coming up this Sunday. This is a service that has been brewing in my spirit for weeks and weeks and weeks now, and we've got great things planned. We're going to treat the ladies wonderfully, and if you're interested in coming, it's going to be at 10:30. Grove Street is right in between Tropical Trail and Courtney Parkway, just north of 520. And so We're just a little bit north of Tires Plus, just a little bit north of Popeyes, right in that area there. If you know where Pizza Hut is, we're two blocks west of Pizza Hut. So if you know where Home Depot is, just go west a few blocks and you'll see our parking. We have parking out in front on that street side parking. We have parking in the back. Now, I will tell you this, that a number of our people park in the back. So if you pull up and you see that there's parking available in the front, that doesn't mean there's nobody in the church. It just means that we are making that parking available for those who may be coming for the first time. And so we want to encourage you to come and be a part of what God is doing. I've got a, not only do we have something nice for the ladies, I have a powerful word that God's laid upon my heart, and it's going to be a word of restoration. It's going to be a word of healing, a word of empowerment. And I pray that you are able to come and be a part of that this coming weekend. So, back to Matthew chapter 4, that's where we ended up on Friday's program. And we're going to resume today in verse number 17 of chapter 4. It says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Now, I read these passages, and it's not just because I don't have anything to do. There's something about the concept of repetition that once it gets down into our spirit, the more we hear it, the more embedded it becomes, and the more revelation we get out of that. So today I'm going to talk about something that you've never heard talked about before. And so in verse number 17, it says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's a couple of different ministry aspects that are talked about here in Matthew chapter 4. One was Jesus' ministry of preaching, and the other comes in a little bit later, and that is the concept of teaching. They are two different gifts. Some people call it the pastor teacher, and I'm thankful for a pastor. A pastor is there. I was at a men's conference here not too long ago, and I learned some things about the sheep and shepherd relationship that I had never heard before, that a shepherd was not really looking for a safe place during a storm, but he was actually positioning himself in the middle of the herd of sheep, the flock of sheep, so that if they got startled, he could reassure them. And so I want to encourage you to look to Jesus, and as long as you don't see him panic, you don't panic. Okay? So Jesus begins his ministry here with a preaching message. Now, I knew a person one time, and they looked and said, the concept of preaching is very rarely mentioned in the Bible, and the concept of teaching is mentioned bunches and bunches and bunches. And kind of his implication was, we need more teaching than we do preaching. My concept is we need both. Jesus did both. You would teach someone the family business, but there were many people who the preaching, that is like the initial invitation. That is, wait a minute, what is this person saying? It was when Paul was in Athens that they said, what is this thing, you know, this strange teaching that we hear that's coming across our ears? And then he was able to explain it further. His message on Mars Hill was something that is considered to be a phenomenal message. In Matthew chapter 5, we hear of the Sermon on the Mount. You teach a lesson, you preach a sermon. And so teaching involves a very personal relationship. There are a lot of people who believe that just because they go to church on Sunday morning that they're going to be able to grasp in that 1 hour enough to compensate for being in a ungodly environment for the remaining 167 hours a week. I'm telling you, we need the proclamation of the gospel. We need teaching. And one of the things that is very important with the concept of preaching is what Jesus did. He came and he picked up on the message of John the Baptist and said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, when Jesus, the King of Kings, says the kingdom of heaven is at hand, it doesn't mean that it is far away. It means it is standing right there. When Jesus is there, that is a tremendous reality, that the kingdom is there, because wherever the king is, the kingdom is. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is right there. It was when Isaiah had an encounter with the holy God of Israel upon the throne that he said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. If we do not have a revelation that there are areas of our life that we need to repent of, then I wonder if we have really encountered the Holy God. There's none perfect but Jesus. There is not anyone other than him that doesn't need to repent. He's never done anything wrong. And so I went on one time and I was having a conversation with somebody. This was when they were a young person. And in all honesty, I was a young person. And he said, well, why would I go to hell? I'm a good person. And so I just asked a simple question. Have you ever lied to your parents? He was still a teenager living at home. And he said, well, yeah, I've lied to my parents. And, you know, we could go on and we could say, well, have you ever stolen? And well, the probable, you know, one of the profound memories I have of my childhood is me getting caught stealing a candy bar, and my mother caught me and she marched me back in there, asked for the store manager, and I had to give him back the candy bar and let him know, I'm sorry, and I'll never do that again. You know, and you just start going down the list, it is not about how many boxes on the sin list do you check. You see, we're not sinners because we sin. The reality is we sin because we're sinners. And the only cure for that is repentance. The cure is not a self-help class. The cure is not a new college degree. The cure is not a YouTube video. The cure is repentance, which is more than just crying your eyes out and saying you're sorry. When I was in my parents' house, I think this was about the time that I was graduating college, or maybe I was home. And they lived just on the edge of civilization. They lived out in the country, but you could see civilization. You could see a shopping mall from where they lived. But basically, we lived out in the sticks, and there was a four-lane road that became a two-lane road just about my grandfather's property. My parents and my grandfather lived side by side, grandparents, and they had quite a bit of frontage there. And so the road just comes down. And there was a person riding their bike out in front of our house one day, and this is dawn, so it's not in the wee hours of the morning, it's not late at night or anything like that, and there was a person that ended up hitting the person on the bicycle, and by the time we got out of the front door of our house, out to them, the person was laying in our driveway, and the person who was driving the car was just, oh, honey, stick with us, hang in there, everything's going to be okay. Well, come to find out, the reason that the person on the bicycle got hit was because the person driving the car wasn't sober. And that person was extremely remorseful. But I can't tell you whether or not they were repentant or not. Because repentance is not just being sorry for what you've done. Repentance is not just sorry that you got caught doing something. Repentance says, I'm going to do whatever is necessary in my life to change the direction of it. Now, I've got good news for you. When you repent, God not only forgives your sin, but he takes care of the guilt of that sin as well. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I wonder how many of our church services that when we gather together, there is this awe of the holiness of God that ushers in a spirit of repentance. I wonder what church would be like if instead of condoning behavior that is unpleasant to God, we exalted the holiness of God, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit began to deal with issues in people's life. I wonder what it would be like when we realize, hey, the king is in the house of the king. And all of a sudden people say, you know what? There are some things in my life that I need to get rid of. I had an authority in my life at one point in time. I was a youth pastor, and this person was a district youth director. He described how he had been in Bible college when all of a sudden a speaker came through, and you might think that everybody that's at Bible college is saved, and you might think that they're all doing well. Well, at this particular time, this Bible college, it needed a move of God. The students weren't paying attention. They were just completely tuned out. They were in chapel because they had to be in chapel, until one day this minister, who I could still name to this day, said, you know what, I'm going to stop my message here for just a moment, and I want you, young man, to stand up. God is speaking to me, and he wants me to let you know that he knows where you were. He knows what you were doing just this last weekend. This is what you did, and he wants to call you and invite you to repent of your sin and get your heart right with God. Now, is this true? And the young man shook his head. Yeah, that's true. That's what I did. And he invited, you know, he responded to the offering to repentance. And then the person begins to speak to another person. And this is what you were doing. And this is who you were with and what was going on. And is this true? And would you like to come and repent of your sins? Now, I don't know about you, but there are several things in my life. When the Bible talks about that you've got to give an account for every careless word or every faithless word that you've ever spoken, that's something that is very convicting to me. That's cause to repentance. But the Bible says that there's going to come a time when that which is done in secret is proclaimed from the rooftops. That used to be thought something hyperbolic in the scripture, or something that was just an exaggeration. It could never take place. But now with technology, we can see that things that are done in secret can be broadcast around the globe in just a matter of minutes. It's not hyperbole at all. It's a very, very much a reality. And I want you to know that that evangelist that day was not operating with the point of humiliating those two people, or however many he began to list. But I can tell you what happened. A backslidden bunch of young people decided that day that the presence of the Holy God was there, not in the form of that evangelist, but the Spirit of the living God was there. And they said, you know what? If God knows what they were doing, God knows what I was doing, and I want to repent. I want to change my behavior. I don't believe that repentance is saying a prayer and then the direction of your life doesn't change, the behavior of your life doesn't change, the behavior of your heart is still the same, the words that come out of your mouth is still the same. I believe that there should be some fruits of repentance we've talked about on this radio program before. And you know what the testimony that came out of that spiritual emphasis week was? Pastors who touched the nations, evangelists that came out of that, that were used mightily of God because God loved those people too much to let them stay in their sin. There's an old saying, God loves you just like you are. Okay? And everybody says, "Whoo! Praise God, God is love. God is love." But there's another sentence that comes right after that. God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay that way. The Holy Spirit wants to come and he says, I want to teach you the word of God. I want to take the word of God from off of the words of the page and I want to inscribe them on the tablet of your heart. I want to take you from a mindset of have to a concept of get to. What a privilege it is to live for God. Jesus comes along. Remember, it says that this is after John the Baptist has been thrown into prison. And the devil may have thought that the message of repentance was over. And Jesus was saying, no, it's just been kicked up a notch. You may have had some setbacks in your life, but I want you to know God believes in step-ups, not setbacks. You know, if you're driving a manual transmission car, you might take your foot off the accelerator and push the clutch in, but that is not so that you will go slower. That's so that you can go faster, so that you can operate with greater efficacy, greater efficiency, greater power. Repent. If we could just regain the understanding that repentance is not a bad thing, it's a God thing. Whenever we have guests at Merit Assembly of God, we don't embarrass, we try not to embarrass our guests, those who are visiting with us. We try and explain the things that are going on. But the truth of the matter is, out of all of the people who've come to Merit Assembly of God, since I've been there, there are four that were never first-time visitors while I've been there. At one point in time, I was the first-time visitor. I mean, you talk about an unusual Sunday. Hi, allow me to introduce myself to you. My name is Bob. I'm the pastor here. That first week, there were six people who had never laid eyes on me, never heard me preach, didn't know me from from the guy down the street, but I had been sent there to be the pastor. You know, one of the things that I try and remember, I've been on staff, and so I try and treat my staff people either the way that I was treated, if it was good. If it was bad, I try to make sure that I don't treat them the way that I was treated. I've tried to learn from everybody that I ever worked for. And when it comes to being in an unusual setting for the first time, I try and remember. So whenever my wife and I visit a church, which is not very often because I work on Sundays, but occasionally we go on vacation and we're someplace else. And I'm always looking and saying, you know, what are they doing right? And what is it that I need to change? Listen, if you're still breathing, there's still probably some degree of repentance, which means a change. There's probably some improvement that we need to make. As long as I'm breathing, I need to be growing. As long as I'm serving, I'm going to be looking to do it better. I'm going to be looking for a way that I can impact my community more than I have before. You know, quite frankly, repentance is about change. Changing from the distorted, damaged, sin-filled creature that I have been, and allowing God to change me, to restore me, to change the way I think, the way that I act, the way that I treat people. And, you know, as long as I've been at this, there are still some things that I mess up. It wasn't too many days ago, a couple of weeks ago, where I said something, and later that night God said, you know, that wasn't your finest hour. You should probably repent of that. You should. Now listen, when God tells you, you should probably do something, it doesn't mean that you should take it under advice. It means, I know what you did, and that didn't represent me well. And it wasn't that it was anything, you know, horribly atrocious or anything like that. It was just something that I could have done better. And so I made a phone call the next day, and I said, please accept my apologies. Would you please forgive me? I'm going to try and do better the next time. Let's not say, you know what? We've arrived. The day you arrive is probably the day that you enter into the pearly gates. Until then, let's keep repenting and keep growing and changing. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you. It's like an ocean breeze.